All right, well, there's a lot of darkness out there, but there's plenty of light in our camp, so we have to be concerned about what's. I thank God for His presence in our life and what He has for each one of us. And just on my heart, just to, that while we're involved in this work of letting Jesus be known, that really what the Lord laid upon my heart was just a short message, I guess, just on the work of love that we're involved in. And that work of love, you can turn to Revelation chapter 2 if you would. That work of love is just two things that I saw and I've recognized just through my life and 20 plus years of being in ministry, of intimacy and honesty. And, you know, that our intimate relationship with Jesus is really what's going to give us the ability to have something to share and something to say in other people's lives. And Revelation 2, verse 1, I'm not going expository if I even know what that word means, but Revelation 2, 1, actually I'm just going to start Revelation 2, 2. Ephesians was a revival church, had a lot of good going on, tremendous things going on. They're hitting on all cylinders, just like this church. It just blesses me to see how you're hitting on all cylinders. Do I see a problem? No, I don't see any problems. I'm just blessed to be here and to see what's going on in the work that's being established here and the lives that are being touched. But the warning here to a church that was hitting on all cylinders was in verse, I'm just going to skip down to verse 2 here, Revelation 2, 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So they had quite the resume, an awesome church. But as usual, what God will do, if we'll let Him in our lives, and we need to be letting Him do this, is that He's like the ultraviolet light. You know, those CSI movies that you'll watch where they walk into a room that's all made up, beds made, and they turn on this light, and all of a sudden you see all the cooties and all the bodily fluids and all the other things, and maybe I don't want to stay in this hotel after all. That's what God will do in our life if we allow Him to do it, because, you know, everything's right in our own eyes, but God weighs the heart. And for God, everything's open and naked. You know, but you know, God wants to weigh, you know, this is His will. This is what you're doing. You know, this is what you want to do. Do they balance out? God weighs what goes on in our heart and our motives, if we'll let Him do that. Because I know what it is to be on the wrong side of that, trying to do things a lot in my own strength. Verse 4, something went wrong in Revelation chapter 2. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So we can be busy serving Jesus. We can lose the intimacy that we have with God. But you look again, look at the resume. The resume looks very impressive. You can go get into the cruise control and really look good but not be good. And that is, yeah, look good and not be good. But probably that's because God will. That when if you ask Jesus His opinion, you'll often find out that He sees a different picture. And thank God He does, because we need that input into our life. We need Him speaking into our life. We need Him saying, God, this is what I want to do. This seems right in my own eyes. On comes the light, and you're going, oh, that doesn't look as good as I thought it did. What I had cleaned up and made look nice actually has some more cleaning needed. Help Jesus. Verse 5, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. In other words, from where you have fallen. See, that's what God's word, God's light will do in our life. We'll see where we have fallen, the UV light, so to speak, if you will. And then what does He say to do in verse 2? Repent. So they were involved in works, but the works they were doing were not God works, were they? What would be another word for not a God work? Dead work. Right? Because but were they doing good things? Were they getting things accomplished? But the danger here is He goes on to say, repent and do the first works out of that intimacy, out of that honesty. It says, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand in its place, unless you repent. So our love, we don't want to turn mechanical. We don't want to turn pharisaical. I could hound on them for a while, but I won't. We can excel in gifts. We can excel in knowledge. We can excel in awesome leadership. We can be multiple syllable words. Doctrinally sophisticated, but powerless. And does this church have that problem? No, I'm not saying that. But the warning is you are running, hitting on all cylinders. No cruise control. That what's going to make the difference for you is that the fellowship you hear is awesome. You're going to draw people in. I came in, not for spiritual reasons, into a church, a pretty girl. And after the pretty girl was gone, I stuck. And there'll be others like that. People are going to come in not for spiritual reasons. They're looking for answers. They're looking for something that's beyond them. They're wondering what their reason for even living is. So we can live full lives but unfulfilled lives, and that's the type of person we're facing. And the opportunity was we have to be able to share, not only give them something to fellowship about, but your testimony, that we're eyewitnesses. You're sharing how Jesus has helped you. You're sharing what God has spoken to you. You're speaking how the Spirit of God has led and guided you into all the truth that He has for you. For me, what He did for 40 years of having migraines until I was smart enough, and I was a Christian for a lot of those years, until I was smart enough to finally ask Him, Lord, where is this coming from? And He showed me, and I don't have migraines anymore. You can't work that up as a Kiwanis or Rotarian. Religious churches can't get that type of inside information. You can. Answers for life. Lord, I thank You for showing me how to eat licorice so I can take care of gallstones, but why am I getting gallstones? As the Lord said once, He goes, you're asking the right questions, but you need to go deeper. So I finally went deeper and asked Him. He gave me one word, said, I can remember it, magnesium. Okay, let's see if I can spell it. I'll have to go to Google because it'll spell it for me. And lo and behold, that magnesium ended up affecting my life in a whole lot of ways. What about going out and shoveling? I hated the fact that, you know, you go out and shovel, you come in and ache the next day. God, this isn't full of sap and very green. That's a New American Standard, by the way, Psalms 92. I felt pretty brittle at that point, actually. So God, this is not full of sap and very green. This is not fulfilling my days in health, thank You. So you turn on the TV and what do you watch? I was at the health club the other night working out. They got 4 TVs across there. Medicine, flu, medicine. I couldn't believe all the stuff they pump at us. God showed me what to do so I would no longer ache after I was physically active. I didn't have to think about reaching for Tylenol because I hate taking medicine. That type of medicine anyways. I'm not saying it's wrong. But God showed me what to do. So was it really all that hard? No, He said, you're dehydrated. Duh. Made sense. All of a sudden I'm drinking enough water and my joints don't hurt. Magnesium, and after I took magnesium, I went and bought, this is how cheap I am, I went to the drugstore, a gas station, and bought a bottle of their magnesium. Took it the first night, I woke up, I couldn't believe how good I slept. And I thought, well, this is maybe, it's just, well, that's pretty cool. The next day I woke up, I could not again believe how good I slept. So I looked up magnesium. People who are deficient in magnesium have a hard time sleeping. They don't get, it's the off switch to go to sleep. Some people get the up switch to go start, but they never get the off switch. That's what magnesium is involved with. Would I have known that? I could never come up with that in a million years. No matter how good Google is. I'm sharing, what am I sharing? I'm sharing out of a testimony I have. That you can share not only a relationship you have with God, but what does that relationship look like? That's that first love relationship you have, that intimacy. And I can't heal my heart. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We can't heal our heart. It's God's job to circumcise the heart. We can try, and I see I've spent enough years as a Christian trying to do things on my own strength, trying to say, by stripes I'm healed, and I believed it with all my heart, but the migraine still kept coming. So what did I need to do? Take the Word of God, let the Spirit of God be the teacher to let me understand what the Word of God and how it applied to my life, where I was coming up short. I was having not because I was asking not. If it's Hebrews 6, I'm just going to read, I'll just read this portion at the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from what? So if it's not a work of the Holy Spirit, what kind of work is it? It's a dead work. So any work that I see myself as a change agent, wouldn't that be considered a dead work? I know what that's like to be the change agent. I'm trying to change. And the my heart here is not to come and add things to your to-do list and to don't list. I don't want to be pharisaical. Pharisees are all about them and what they do and keeping laws and being right and such. John chapter 5, if you turn over there quickly. But we're to repent from these things. We're supposed to turn around trying to save ourselves. We're supposed to stop trying to be the change agents in our life. What's going to make the difference to the people around you is the fact they've seen how you've been changed, and you get to brag on who? That you figured it out? Or that Jesus gave you words for the issues you're facing in life, very specific ones, even to the point of magnesium. I'm sorry, God, I can't find the word magnesium. Give me a scripture and verse on that one. When he speaks, you change, right? John chapter 5, dead works. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but, with one T, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. What aren't they willing to do? They're handling the scripture. I was very sincere when I said, by his stripes I'm healed. Back up to verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have this of his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe. It's so incredible to be able to help hook people up that never even had a relationship with God to hear his voice. I got two Catholic kids working for me, and they were bad shape. One was suicidal, the other one was just plain messed up. But as they started seeing changes in me, because I used to be kind of a Nazi boss with them. I was never mean, never left a mark. But you would get the job done. We'll get the job done. But as they started to see me sweeten up, because you spend time with Jesus, he'll get you gentle. He gentlifies you, because he's a gentle companion. The mark of being with him. Restoring others with a spirit of meekness, that gentleness. And they became curious. They started asking questions. So I started giving them a testimony of what God had done in my life and the things he'd helped me with and why I was no longer so uptight. And have them do it. I was down at a conference down in Iowa, and they called up, and I work as a network engineer. The network went belly up, and they don't know what to do because I'm the guy in charge. I'm usually the one that goes in the closets. They're the ones that handle everything else. But one of the kids I called up because I was ready to speak at a conference, and he goes, well, I just asked God what to do, and he said this was the problem. I scratched my head, and I tried it, and it worked. It's awesome having employees that know how to hear God's voice. God knows things about networks. Amazing. And he helped that, and it was a real boost for him. We are not the change agent in our life. If we are, what are we offering people around us? I can grab a self-help book because in them I think I can find life. Do the best for me. Is God in that? Even religion falls short in that area. It's not, I want to share out of my relationship, out of the intimacy I have with God. It doesn't, our Christianity doesn't come because we've bit the bullet harder and tried harder. Because I've turned my church over to a 20-something pastor. He started at 22, 23, I think, is when I turned it over to him. And just backing off slowly here and there. And but one of the things I said, I'll be very clear with you. I've always gotten, my grandpa and my friends always got mad because I'd always ask the questions, why? I was always asking that question. They finally get frustrated with me because I'd ask so many questions. But one thing, I don't like masks. I don't like pretending. And I wasn't okay with things just with gritting teeth. I wasn't okay with just going through the motions of a fake smile. And my heart with them is that, you know, if there's an issue, we will talk about it. If there's a problem, we will talk about it. And we will get to the bottom of it because God has answers for us. He has truth for us. And that's a way to live. I've seen that with my family and my son the other day. You know, we went through some things with him recently, and he ended up in the bed again, not feeling good. And I said, you know, Dylan, are you healed by the stripes of Jesus? He said, well, yeah. I said, are you the healed or are you trying to get healed? Well, I'm the healed. I said, well, why don't you ask God why you're not feeling good then? Because there's a disconnect there. So I came home that night, and he says, you know, God, Dad, I was talking to God, and I just couldn't get it. And I said, I just got mad. And I said, God, why am I not healed? And then God showed him a picture. He saw himself looking down, and Jesus was standing above him, or standing there with healing in his hands. And Dylan said, I recognized, And God says, you're listening to me, but you're not receiving. And he said, the moment I looked up and said, God, I receive, he said, he just felt all this warmth go through his vocal cords and where he would have had this, you know, pretty serious cold. And he was pretty pumped. See, that's a testimony. You can't work that up in any other thing but in our Christianity that we have. God has answers for anything and everything. And that's the power that we have to offer those around us, people that are hurting. People don't want more religious. They're not interested in what you know until they're interested in if they want to be, you know, experience what you have. The 20-somethings that you're hooking up with here in church, working with, there's such a golden opportunity. 60% of those 20-somethings live in a home that's broken. And even more live that are in homes that are just a one-parent family. Golden opportunity, because what are they looking for? Well, they're kind of like ships out there without the sail or the rudder, right? We've got something that's genuine and real. Percent of them, you know, I shared last night, but teenagers are the most spiritually active and vibrant group there is. Statistically, when it gets to the 20-somethings, 43% of them drop off. It's the deadest spiritual group there is. 8 million of them go, just not interested in spiritual things. And just as a, John 7, please. We are not the change agents. And it's the cool thing about working with my son-in-law and my daughter, it's that the getting God involved with that is taking care of all of the, there's no game playing. We don't have to put up with, I wish they were doing things different. You know, have you ever talked to someone and they're talking to you and you're going, boy, I have some place to go. Yeah, that's really nice. I wish they'd quit talking. Yeah, that's really nice. I don't like the fakey stuff. But having God, inviting God with that in that relationship with my son-in-law, I've seen him as a very, very physically young person do some very mature things because of him asking the questions, God, what would you have me do? You know, as Roger shared in the motivation from that Blackbeard guy or whatever his name was, you know, find out what God's doing. Find out what God's doing and just, you know, be doing it. What a safe place to be. Because if we're the change agent, what kind of work is it? And what are we supposed to repent of? What are we supposed to turn around and try and quit not being religious anymore, not trying to be the Pharisee anymore, not trying to pick up another self-help book because maybe they'll have the answer for me. You know, your father has the answer for me. Well, Lord, why am I even getting gallstones? Magnesium. Okay, how do you spell it, God? John chapter 4. John 7. John 7, 38. And what to describe here is at a Bible study I was doing a while back, because I get to teach the adults still on Wednesday nights, which is awesome. I really enjoy that. There's something the Spirit of God just amplified for me. John 7, 38 says, he who believes in me, as the Scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is really the intimacy. This is really the presence of God in our life. Him fueling us. Him speaking into our life. Us showing. We don't have to be frustrated. We don't have to feel like we're falling behind. We don't have to feel like failures. We don't have to be, you know, that says all those things that we're doing wrong, all those lusts, where do they come from? The Bible says in James, they always come from within. So God will deal with those heart issues. You know, we want to follow after God. Why am I not? God will speak into those things. And then therefore you walk out with a testimony to be able to share with the people around you of what God has done in your life. Why I'm no longer crabby. Why I'm no longer a Nazi dad? Why I'm no longer paranoid? And a Nazi boss, too. I had a lot of Nazi in me. So we want a life that's fueled by what? You're talking to Jesus. You're involving him in your life. He's speaking to you about how to be a parent, about your body, about why you're driven to do stupid things. Because all bad behavior is pain management. I've said that plenty before. Now back up to John chapter 4. And this was the part that the Spirit of God, just in the process of ministering about the woman at the well, you know that Jesus is there and there's so much going on here. It's a powerful chapter, but I'm just going to try and center on just a couple of points here. John 4, 7. It says, the woman of Samaria came to the draw of the water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And, oh, there's so much here. All right, behave, Andy. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said, Sir, you have nothing to draw with. So she's still stuck on the natural. Where do I get this living water? Verse 12, Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself and as well as his sons and his livestock? No, at one point I'm going to make out, she was a woman. She was a woman of probably a bad report because she's showing up in the middle of the day. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. He's a man. She's a woman. All sorts of reasons this conversation shouldn't have taken place. But Jesus broke through all those barriers. And look what's coming up now is that he's going to start breaking through these barriers because we have reasons why we go to church here. They have a reason why they go to church there. We have reasons why a lot of young people are not interested in church because we get wrapped up and religiosity and all that is another thing they got to do and keep them from having them enjoying themselves Saturday night because now they got to get up early Sunday morning. There's no life in it for him. He's going to break through a whole bunch of religiosity, like the arguments, and you can see that argument she has. So verse 13, Jesus answered and said to whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It shall become water springing up into everlasting life. You're never going to thirst again. For every thirst, for every need, more than enough. Never thirst again. That means it sounds like you got a supply and a source that's incredibly beyond all you could ask or think. According to what? The power that's working within. Never thirst again. Verse 15. Very wise woman says, and the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst again or come, that I may come and draw. All right, what did she just ask for? Not a hard question. She just asked for a drink of this everlasting, never thirst again water. Now we get to see this water in action. That's what follows. What is it, that living water inside of us? It's the voice of God inside of us. It's his presence. It's his spirit. It's his insight. It's the wisdom of the ages. It's for any question, there's an answer. For every frustration, for every depression, for whatever it may be, God has an answer. And see, that's what you have to offer those around you. Why does life hurt so much? I planned, as a young kid, I planned to have a wonderful life, go out and raise a family and make some money, and all of a sudden I'm out of wedlock with a child and miserable. I'm hooked on drugs. I'm depressed. I'm an old person, elderly, and I'm lonely. A person who's alone, feeling lonely. But the truth is, who's sitting there with them at all times? We're never alone. But see, we can think we are because of the wrong thinking, which is an unrenewed mind, which means we're being robbed, which means there's carnality and death going on in a Christian that shouldn't be going there. And what is the cure for it? Lord, why? Asking the question. You're asking the right questions, Andy, but you need to go deeper. This is the result. See the water start to pour out. Jesus, verse 16, this is how the water works in our life. God speaking in our life. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. It is in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. That's an understatement right there. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in the mountains. See, now here she starts to get into the reasons why she can't. This is the religion that we'll bump up and against. And I mean, the coolest thing I've enjoyed is people who don't know God who are atheists. I like working with them a lot. Like a cat and a mouse. Because when they hear God for the first time, it messes with their theology, or lack of. How can you hear a voice from someone who doesn't exist? Right? Mm-hmm. And God speaks to them. Yeah. It's so amazing. You can't, I don't have to argue with someone for 40 minutes about whether there's a God and why, if God's so big, could he make a rock that he couldn't even lift? It's like, oh, come on. Why do we go there? All you're interested in is trying to convince yourself so you can be more convinced of those shifting sand you're standing on. All right, we were in John 4, right?
Yes.
All right, 19, thank you. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped upon the mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship." Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you will neither..." Let's see. "Hours coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. The salvation is of the Jews." He didn't sugarcoat it. He gave her the truth. But when God speaks the truth, I asked God one day, he says, "God, it seems like I do more missing of than listening to you." And he didn't say, "Oh no, you're doing a good job." He said, "You're getting better." Did that hurt? Like, yeah. I didn't have to beat myself up for what I'm not doing right. He was giving me credit for what I was doing. God, sometimes it feels okay just not to talk to you about things, just figure it out on my own. It feels normal. He said, "Who says that's normal?" Like, don't. So wise. Got a sense of humor too. Verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, who will tell us all things?' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" He is life. Isn't he eternal life? This is the well. This is the relationship. You can't fake this. You cannot fake a relationship with Jesus, or you just have to settle for religion. The reason why you're marked is different because you have something. We have something that draws us together. The koinonia, we have something that makes us one. But we have out of this relationship, we have a something supernatural that's going on. As God is speaking to your life, giving you help for things, you get stuck in places, God has answers for it. That's supernatural. Verse 28. And this is the result of taking this drink. "The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things I've ever did. Could this be the Christ?'" Jump down to verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me that all that I ever did.' And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" God is a great communicator. He's so eager to speak into our life. He's just looking for this opportunity for us to open up and take the drink. And I know what it's like to be that Christian who's trying to do it in my own strength, stuck in dead works, trying to pick up the self-help books. I got a whole library full of them, trying to find answers, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for answers in all the wrong places when all I could have just done at any time. Instead of spending a bunch of money and growing worse, just ask the question, "Lord, this place in life is not going right. This place in my life hurts. I need help." Who is the capital H helper, right? Second Corinthians 7:13. And just a couple thoughts on intimacy. We can relate to people around us because we have something that they're looking for. Religion is a one-way communication. That Christianity is supposed to be a two-way relationship. It's not a one-way radio. It's a two-way radio, if you can put it in those kind of contexts. It's more than saying, "God, I'm miserable." Or like Martha and Mary, "My sister's not helping me, make her help me." Mad at God because of his sister's, what she's doing or not doing. But having services that are meaningful, having a Christianity that puts a glow on your face, that there's something inviting, because there's a lot of darkness out there. And it's going to get gross darkness. It's going to get worse. 2 Corinthians 7:13. See, out of this intimacy we have with God, how does it show up? Because you've got a testimony to share what God's speaking into your life, what he's leading you to do. It says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because the Spirit was refreshed by you all." We were comforted in your comfort. As God comforts us, we can go out and comfort other people. Because it's not a matter of being a religious person looking down the nose at anyone because of where they're not where we're at. It's like, "Oh, I can relate. I know what it's like to be where you're at." And be able to share out of that compassion and that empathy can rise out of a person's heart. Just some thoughts about intimacy. I recognize that over my years of pastoring, you got couples that, again, they're married, and I'm not even talking about the sexual aspect right now, but they're married, but they have a real hard time with intimacy. They just only go so far. There's only certain places they'll go. And they want to be intimate, but they won't. and really involving Jesus in your life and breaking down, you know, what am I speaking about? I'm speaking about masks again. You know, that I'm only going to let you go so far. But true intimacy is a commingling. Intimacy is, instead of a you and me, it's an us and we. It turns into, you know, I've got to be self-revealing. That's involved in intimacy. And sometimes that can be scary for people. But if it's scary to go there, what's the best thing you can do if you've got the wisdom of the ages available to you to give you an answer for anything and everything? What's the best thing you can tell God if you're scared to open up and be real with people? God, why? Because it's not coming from your in Christ nature that you are, right? It's got to come from some programming that's still messed up. And what will God do? Renew the mind, set you free. You'll be able to have the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, right? And you can be real with people, not based on being men pleasers. You're not based on whether acceptance or, you know, 20-somethings, if anything, or even young kids. They all, you know, most of them think that everyone else is cool and they're not. The lies that we can end up believing. So we overlap identities. That's what will happen in your relationship with Jesus. And I've noticed it with myself as I've purposed to just step into that, and with my family, just working with them. Let's make sure that if we see masks on each other, let's be honest about it, and let's ask the question. And sometimes it can be scary. Sometimes people don't want to go there, but we get there. And not forcing anyone to do anything, but, you know, we're missing out on something here. And see, that's what you're going to have is when people recognize that communion, that fellowship you have with the Spirit of God. It's refreshing. They're thirsty. They want to have that. Just give me a drink of this water. Intimacy is self-revealing. Intimacy is responsiveness to others, a sensitivity to someone else's needs. God's sensitive to us. We're sensitive to Him. So God knows where you're at. Let Him shine the light on. Has anyone arrived? I'm not saying that's the issue. The very fact I have to keep on going to Him to talk about things proves the fact I still have things to work on. But not talking to God, you know what that's like? That's that dead works. That makes victory seem harder than defeat. Because you just never get there. It's a lot of trying. And a lot of people want to consume themselves with trying. Because they're looking for that pat on the back from God someday. And that's what all religion was after. Really, it's just, God, I did this, now give me glory. So he knows your works. He knows exactly where you're at. Everything's open and laid bare. Out of Revelations 2. But He wants to make sure we never lose the first works. The reason why we're doing all these awesome things is because out of an intimacy and a love. Because we don't want to get into autopilot. Hebrews 2 says that we're supposed to repent from dead works. John chapter 4 says that Jesus went on to about the woman of the well. He made this comment. My work is to do the will of my Father. That's the meat that I have to eat. In Ephesians chapter 4. We go out and do the work of the ministry. When it comes out of love, it's just natural. Relationships fail for lack of connection. Honey, how was your day? Fine. Two chips just passed. They never made the connection. You know, they've done studies on this. The reason why relationships fail is because there's people are trying to reach out and make a connection, and one's not made. So, Lord, I'll see if this prayer agrees with you, then you can just say amen. Father, you know the end from the beginning. Everything about my life is open and naked before you, with whom I have to do. My desire is just to walk in your light. If there's things in my life that you need to speak to me about, please, Father, do so. I give you that place. Because Jesus is coming soon, sooner than we think, sooner than we expect. So let's out there being letting our light shine, right? So shine before men that they'll see our good works and glorify Father. In other words, like my guys at work. Okay, you've changed. Why are you different? Did I have to push a Bible down their throat. Their background in Christianity, Catholicism, and not down in Catholicism, but oil and water didn't mix where I was coming from. But do you know what they were interested in? They were thirsty. Religion wasn't doing it for them. One-way communication wasn't doing it for them. Just going to church and sitting there and being bored, you know, like doing working out on a treadmill for an hour. Oh, 40 minutes, 39 minutes. Just enduring. What about the fact that there, you get here and become refreshed? As Hebrews says, we can be an encouragement to one another, especially as we see that day approaching. Be an encouragement to one another. Live out a relationship. Contagious. Being salt, you'll make people thirsty. You'll preserve people around you. Amen. And I'll just close with this scripture. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So we don't have to add anything to our checklist. We don't have to be a Pharisee. It's not one more thing for you have to do. It's just the fact about, okay, why don't we lighten the load? His burden is easy and His yoke is light. Why do we have to do one more thing? Take the check boxes off, and all am I responsible for to do is just what God did. What do I see You doing, Lord? What do I hear You speaking? That's a pretty short to-do list, isn't it? There's nothing religious about that, is there? Lord, this person in front of me is hurting. I was texting with this suicidal woman for 40 minutes last night when I got back to the hotel room. That stuff would have freaked me out. Like, we got to find a professional to help this person. Now I just hook them up to God. Say, God, what do you? I said, dear friend, what is God? She threw her phone out. That's why I had to do texting. She was so mad, you know, trying so hard to, you know, out of anger to go in a hole, but still reaching out for help. What does the Lord have to? God is there with you right now. The Comforter and the gentle Jesus, your counselor is there with you. What does He have to show you right now? You're in a lot of pain. You're hurting. You want to get to the point where you hurt so bad that you want to run from your life so bad you want to end your life. What does God have for you right now? And amazingly, even over a text phone, God will reach through that and start communicating to that person on the other end. God's not limited by things. We're not limited either. Disappointed? You have disappointments? Christianity hard? Don't need to be that way. It's not because of God made it that way. It says His burden is easy and His yoke is light. Come unto Me, all you weary and heavy laden. And just the very fact of this one, you know, when you believe God for things, it says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence of things for. This is the confidence that we have in the thing. If you say amen to a prayer, doesn't it say that those who believe to enter into rest? Should you be, if you got a lump on your body, should you still be sweating about the lump on your body? Is that faith? Is that entering into rest? Guess who has answers for why you might be sweating after you said amen to the fact that you're my healer? Who has answers for that? Who can get you to the point where you can be in peace and rest even when you face things that are going contrary? My middle daughter, she went through some things and it was kind of trying for us. And I said, you know, God, I'm stirred up by this. There's no peace in this. And I want to get my eyes off myself and back on You. This thing's robbing me of my time with You. And God just spoke this. He said, she's going to be okay. And my wife got the same word. You know what that does? That takes care of all that junk that's going on between now and you being okay, so I can get my eyes back on Jesus, enjoy my relationship with Him, and not compromise with my daughter trying to rescue her myself. In other words, trying to be the self-work, do my own thing in my own strength. I'd say what God's needed to say to her, not out of fear. Fear of man brings a snare. Just speaking those things they needed to hear into her life. That's an awesome place to be. Peace. Wonderful peace. Amen? Yes. Amen. I didn't look up at the clock.